Well, let's see. Any updates here? Yeah. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Indeed. All right. So now let's go ahead and move on into our time in the Word, a brief message from the book of Acts, chapter 17. So please open your Bible app, and follow along with us. It'll be on the screen, but definitely have your own Bible open. We're going to read from Acts 17, verse 22 through 34. Let me go ahead and read it for you. Verse 22. Paul then stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus and said, "People of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.' So you are ignorant of the very thing you worship. And this is what I'm going to proclaim to you." Verse 24. "The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by human hands. And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. From one man he made all of the nations, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by human design and skill. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead. And when they heard about the resurrection of the dead, some of them sneered. But others said, 'We want to hear you again on this subject.' At that, Paul left the council, and some of the people became followers of Paul and believed. Among them was Dionysus, a member of the Areopagus, also a woman named Damaris, and a number of others." This is the very word of God. So last night, I watched a movie with my children, and we watched a movie called The School of Rock. It came out a few years ago. The star is Jack Black. He's a musician and singer and a comedian. And so the story goes, Jack Black, he's a rock and roll nobody. He wants to become famous. So one day he happens to become a school teacher, and he's going to teach his students rock and roll. And one student comes up to him after he has said, "Okay, you're the guitarist, you're the drummer, you're the keyboardist, and you are the singer." And then one of the girls who he chose as the singer, she says, "Teacher, I don't think I can be the singer. I like to sing, but I can't be the singer. And Jack Black says, well, why? What's wrong? She says, oh, well, I'm a little bit overweight, and I look funny, and people laugh at me, I think, because of the way I look. And Jack Black says very something interesting. He said, no. Look at me. I'm fat, too. Don't worry. When you're on stage, you have the microphone, the lights are shining. The people worship you. They worship you. That's what will happen when you go out and you sing. And I thought that was very interesting. Because what Jack Black said is true about everybody, which is, everybody worships something. Even if you are not religious, you don't care about God or you know, religion, we all want something to look at and aspire to. Everyone admires something. We all worship. We all want to give something that is, we want to give ourselves to something bigger, greater, grander. We want to give ourselves to a God. We all worship. Everybody worships. So, a God is something that you will sacrifice something for. You'll sacrifice, you know, your money, your time, your ability, your family, you know, yourself. That's what a God is. So in the past, these gods were like the pantheon, you know, whether it's Greek gods, Roman gods, even Japanese gods. Okay, it's a pantheon. Most of you, probably all, none of you, none of you, most of you, all of you, nobody is interested in the things I'm interested in, which is creation mythology. Yeah, I'm really into it because, well, recently I've been studying the Old Testament. Jesus grew up on the Old Testament, so I'm interested in the Old Testament Bible. And the Old Testament Bible, it talks about creation mythology. It's in the world of the ancient Near Eastern creation, Mesopotamian mythology, Egyptian mythology. You don't care, I know, but just stay with me here. So, because I've been reading about ancient Near Eastern mythology, I've become interested in ancient Japanese mythology, the Kojiki, Nihon no Shoki, Izanami and Izanagi. And their children. So there's these two brother and sister gods, Izanami, Izanagi. And then they dip their spear in the primordial sea, and out becomes the islands of Japan. And then they become husband and wife, and they have all these children who are all the gods of Japan. And there's the three big gods who are Amaterasu, Omikami, Tsukuyomi, Nomikoto, and Susano. You know, Nomikoto. Just amazing characters in ancient Japanese creation mythology. What does this have to do with the Bible? Okay, I'll get to it now. Ancient peoples believed in many gods. Whether it's Western, Eastern, Roman, Greek, Japanese, we call that idea of many gods, a pantheon, many gods. And these gods had, you know, kind of characteristics, human characteristics. You know, some were angry, some were funny, some were playful, some were mischievous, and some were amorous, some had tempers. But any god, any kind of god in the ancient times, they were territorial. They belonged to a place. Well, Chris, we don't care about ancient pantheons and ancient Greeks and myths and gods. Okay, I'll get to that too. You know, in ancient times, there was a pantheon of gods. In modern times, we still have gods. In modern times, we still worship things. And it's not Zeus or Hercules or Amaterasu, but it's success, fame, glory, power, pleasure. You see, the ancient gods, they were the gods of weather, fertility, the sea, the storms, the land. But whatever the god was, it was the same thing. You give to that god, they'll give you your family, your work, your money, your house, your success, your power, which is the same today. Same thing. Give your money for education, for work, for travel, for pleasure. Give your time for fame, to be known. In fact, there's a pantheon in ancient times, but today, if you're not saying you worship those gods, you're probably worshiping yourself. You are the god that you worship. Why? Because everybody worships. We all worship something. So, here's Paul in Acts chapter 17. He's in the city of Athens. And in that city, he sees the pantheons. The pantheons of the Romans and the Greeks. When Athens, of course, is famous from ancient Greece. We're going to show the slide on the screen here. It's not part of the bulletin. Nobody has the bulletin. But if you're in chapter 17, the context, I've made some other slides with the context. Paul, in chapter 17, verse 16, so Paul is in Athens, and he's looking at the statues of all the gods that are around him. And he's every day in the place called the Agora. It says there in verse 17, he was in the marketplace day by day. The Agora. The Agora is the center of everything. It is Tokyo, Osaka, Kyoto combined. It is Los Angeles, New York, Paris and London combined. It is the media center. It is the economic center. It is the religious center. It is the community center of everything. It's the agora, the marketplace. And Paul is there talking about not the pantheon, but the monotheon, the one God. And so he catches the attention of the philosophers. And in verse 18, chapter 17, it says, a group of Epicurean and Stoic philosophers began to debate with him. And they're listening to Paul. And they're saying, what are you talking about? What is this babbler trying to say? And so they say, okay, Paul, let's listen to you. So he goes from the agora, the marketplace, to an even higher place, the Areopagus. Verse 19, they took him and brought him to a meeting of the Areopagus. And they said to him, can we know what this new teaching that you are presenting? What is the Areopagus? Well, you see the Epicurean and the Stoics. These are the elite of the elite. These are the scholars of the scholars. This is Tokyo University, Kyoto University, and Osaka University combined. It's, you know, Todai, Kyodai, Handay, all together. It's Waseda, Jochi, and Keio together. All these, the top Ivy League public national schools, that's the Areopagus. Paul is invited to speak to them. And he's going to talk about God. But the interesting thing is, you have the Epicureans and the Stoics. They don't believe in God. Sorry if your mic, if your volume has been turned up, sorry. They don't believe in God. They are secular. They see those gods as symbolic, same as today. And so you may think, you know, well, Christianity became strong and it grew in the first century because people were superstitious, they believed in everything, they don't know science, they don't know a technology, they, you know, people were gullible. And today we're in the 21st century. We don't believe in, we have matured, we're scientific, we're historic. It's the same thing in the past. These Epicureans and the Stoics, they don't care about religious things or spiritual things. They were practical philosophers. They especially didn't believe in the pantheon and worship them. They were pragmatists. They were philosophers. They were moralists. They believed in ethics through self-discipline, governing through democratic debate and policy. Nothing to do with gods and sacrifices and religion. No, 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 no. That's who Paul is talking to. Same thing in this world that we live in. Okay. So Paul is going to talk to them, and all I wanted to do today was look at his message to them. It is amazing. I studied it this week. I want to study it more. I think I'm going to study it much more in the future. It is amazing, especially if you are a Christian and you want to talk about God, Jesus, your God, to non-Christians. This is an amazing sermon that Paul gives. Well, I'm just going to talk about three quick, brief points, and we're finished. So Paul, he says in verse 22, the end of verse 22, no, verse 23, the first thing he says, "People of Athens, I see that in every way you are religious. I walked around. I looked carefully. You have an altar with this inscription, to an unknown God." And then he says, "You are ignorant of the very thing you worship." And this is what I'm going to tell you. So the Greek phrase that he uses, "You are ignorant of this thing," it's an amazing Greek expression. He is saying this. There, that, this is the English, I don't know how it's going to be in Nihongo. "That which you unknowingly reverence." The thing, the being that you, without knowing it, you are worshiping that. Shiranai uchi ni ikiteru you ni, aru you ni, iru you ni, sanbi shiteru ka, maa, jinsei wo sasageru. Sorry, terrible Japanese, I'm sorry. But he's saying, you secular, non-religious philosophers, you say there's no God. You don't believe in God. But the reality is your life shows that you believe. You think you're just having normal, everyday life, no religion, no God. But really, the way you're living, it shows that you are worshiping something. There is something inside of you that acknowledges a reality that is more than just this world. You know it in your heart of hearts. And you even made some kind of altar to that. Well, I'm going to tell you about that thing. Amazing. Let me tell you about it. All the gods in Greek mythology and in the pantheon, it's all about territory. It's about land. It's about boundaries and borders. Let me tell you about the greater God, the Most High God. Number one, he is absolute and he is knowable. He is the highest authority, but he is knowable, relatable. What do I mean? So in verse 26, or 24 to 26, Paul is saying, he's not man-made. You have statues of wood and stone and clay made by your hands and your skills. This God is not made by hands. In other words, here's what he's saying. This is a God that we didn't think of. In fact, it's the other way around. This God thought of us. You and I, as human beings, we think of a God and we make that shape with a head and hands, and sometimes it's fat, sometimes it's naked. The Asian gods look Asian, the Western gods look Western. Paul says, it's the other way. We didn't make gods in our image. God made us in his image. That's the God that you don't know about. He's the Lord of heaven and earth. So here's the thing. He doesn't belong to a territory. The Greeks make the Greeks god. The Roman makes the Roman gods. The Japanese makes the Japanese gods. That makes sense. This God is the other way around. So he's not contained by the Romans, the Greeks, the Jews, the Japanese, the Koreans, the Chinese. This God goes beyond territories. Therefore, he's higher. He's absolute. Therefore, the truths, the ethics, and the morals. You Africans in Sudan, you say that female circumcision is important. You say that honor killings are necessary. What is an honor killing? If someone in your family does something terrible, or your son goes and does something horrible, steals, kills, rapes, you as a father and a mother are responsible to kill that son to keep the honor of your family. It's called honor killings. Genital circumcision, female, male. So there's a culture, there are people groups who have these values and morals and ethics. And so somebody from another country, the West, says, ugh, that's terrible. No one should have that happen to them. No family has that power over an individual. And then the Sudanese look at the people in the West, judging them, saying, well, who are you? Who tells you? Look at you. You're so individualistic, the son and the daughter can do whatever they want to dishonor their community. That's terrible. That's wrong. So one culture looks at another culture and judges them, their morals, their ethics, their behaviors, and says, that's wrong. We have our God that tells us this, and we have their God that tells us this. Paul says, no, 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 no. The Most High God is above all of that. He's not bound by territories because he's not made by human hands. So he's absolute. He's the highest God. But here's the thing. As one Japanese student told me, I said, what is your image of God? Kami no image wa nan desu ka? One word. His answer was, toi. He's far. And what he meant when he says, kami-sama wa toi desu, he said, because God is powerful, he's holy, We are humans. We're dirty. We're, you know, we're mortal. He's so far from us. And Paul says, no, it's the other way around. So look. Look at verse 27. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him. All right, well, verse 27. God did this. Well, what is this? Well, that's verse 26. He made all the nations. He marked out appointed times in history and boundaries of lands. So God did this so that man would seek him. So here's what religion says. I will do this so that I can go to God. I will live a good life so that God will come to me. That's religion. But the gospel is different. It's the other way around. Humans use money or situations to get to God. But the gospel is, no. Verse 26. God uses history and even territories so that we will come to him. We use what we use, what's available to us, so we can make God come. God, I've been good. God, I have been a good person. I've been a good husband, a good neighbor, a good worker. Listen to my prayers. That's religion. The gospel is, I'm going to use corona. I'm going to use a typhoon. I'm going to use history and territory so that you can come to me. I want to know you. I want you to know me. I want to have you. I want to be your God. It doesn't matter if you're Chinese, Korean, Japanese, Filipino, doesn't matter. I made you. I made you to worship me. I made you to know me. And when you know me, you will know yourself. You will know the world. You will be a new creation. So I did all this so that you can come to me. There's one event in history that made all that possible. We'll get to that. Almost there. Verse 24 through 29. God is absolute beyond territories, but God is knowable. And then Paul moves on to the second point. Verse 30, 31. God is merciful, but at the same time, he's just. He's merciful and he's just. In the past, verse 30, God overlooked ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. Verse 31, for he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. So there's two things there. God overlooked ignorance in verse 30. But then in verse 31, he's going to judge the sins. In other words, here's what happened. There's this interesting word, overlooked. It's a strange word in verse 30. And I thought, this is strange. God overlooked sins done in ignorance. Muchino tsumi o oume ni shita. He overlooked it. Yirushita. He didn't forgive it, but he just kind of set it aside. That's a strange word. It happens only once in the Bible, overlooked. But in chapter 14, verse 6 of Acts, he says another way. He says, he let all nations go their way. He said, dozo suki no youni. You can go ahead and do what you want. In the past. That's 14, 6. And then in Romans chapter 3, verse 25. In his forbearance, he passed over sins. In his patience, set the sins aside. There was a time in history God says, all right, you don't know who I am. You've never heard my name. You do these things in ignorance. You think you're doing good, you're actually doing evil. You're oppressing, you're killing, you're whatever. I'm going to set it aside. I'm going to judge it. But right now, here's what it is. You don't get what you deserve. That's called mercy. I'm a teacher. I teach junior high school and high school. Right now, I'm teaching seventh grade, Chuichi. They do many things in ignorance. Yeah, they want to call me, hey, you. Who's hey, you? Habakon, kochoide. What? You talk to me? I'm the sensei. Ore-sama desu. But they're kids, they're children. And they do things in ignorance. Now, if I punished every single thing a Chuichi or a seventh grader does in ignorance, disrespectfully, there would be no lessons, no classes. It would just be punishment. All right? That's just how it is. There's so many students, and there's so much ignorance and sin. So there's a time where I have to overlook, I have to pass over, I have to set aside some of those things. But I will get to them at some point. God is merciful. He overlooked sins in the past. But now, Paul says, he knows what time it is now. He has set a day when he's going to judge. In other words, he's going to make each payment called for every sin. So God is merciful and he is just. So in verse 31, total justice. He says, all people everywhere, not just Israel, not just Asia, Greece, Rome, Americas, North Africa, South Africa, everywhere. All people everywhere. And now Paul comes to the last point. He says, you know what? How he's going to do it? He's going to do it because he's God. He has a man who is God. In other words, God became man. And that man is Jesus of Nazareth. So, how do we know that? Well, Paul says it's the resurrection. He has given proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead. In other words, Christian believes that a man rose from the dead. And that man is God. That's what proves that God is above all territories, all ethics, all morals. He is the absolute judge. It proves his mercy. It also proves his justice. Why? Because here's what the resurrection does. Okay? We're almost done. The resurrection shows that the death of Jesus was not like any other death. And if the death of Jesus is not like any other death, that means the life of Jesus was not like any other life. So the life of Jesus is unique. The death of Jesus is unique. And all of that is proved by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the grave. So what is the death and the life of Jesus? The life of Jesus, put simply, the life of Jesus is the life we should have lived. Loving God with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind. Loving our neighbor as ourselves. We don't do that. We love ourselves, truth be told. We would care more about ourselves. But Jesus lived the life I should have lived, and that means his death was the death I should have died. His death was my death. So, me as a person, if I trust in the resurrection and I trust in the death of Jesus, that means the life of Jesus comes into me. My death goes to Jesus on the cross. That's what the resurrection proves. That's the gospel. It's the resurrection. The bodily, historical resurrection. Ah, Chris, come on. That's ancient. That's unreliable. We don't know that. It doesn't matter. There's no other greater historical event testified to than the resurrection of Christ. We have more documents testifying to the resurrection than any other ancient historical document. We have thousands of documents, historical, not mythological, historical, biographical, reliable texts that attest to the physical, bodily, historical resurrection of Jesus Christ. So you don't have to be religious. You don't need to be a spiritual person. You just have to think, did this actually happen? We'll close with this. My wife and I, we don't watch movies so much. But when we watch a movie, there's one person we're always looking for. Our favorite actor together is a man named Dwayne The Rock Johnson, a.k.a. The Rock. He's a big, strong, bald Hawaiian man. He's our favorite actor, who was a former pro wrestler and maybe the future president of the United States. It's possible. Anything is possible. Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Don't Google him now. Google him later. But he's our favorite. But he has this expression when he was a pro wrestler. When he was being interviewed or he was talking to someone, someone would try to say their opinion about him. They would try to tell him their objection or why they don't like him. And every single time, The Rock would say, "It doesn't matter what you think." Conversation over. And he would just slap them and wrestle, and it's awesome. "It doesn't matter what you think," is what The Rock would say. That's the resurrection. "Well, I don't know about, you know, Christianity. Who knows if it's true?" It doesn't matter. If the resurrection is true, that's all that matters. "Well, you know, Christians, there's hypocrites. You know, they've done bad things in past." It doesn't matter what Christians have done, good or bad. If the resurrection happened, Christianity is true. "Well, I don't know if the Jewish God, Yahweh, is the true God, and he was, you know, in the past, and there's lots of textual criticisms, unreliable." It doesn't matter what you think or don't know or don't think about ancient Jewish texts compared to ancient mythological Near Eastern creation. It doesn't matter. "Well, I don't know if I can intellectually accommodate this new kind of..." It doesn't matter what philosophy you think or believe in. If the resurrection is true, you have to account for that. That's what Paul is saying here. He proved all of this by raising a man from the dead. And so what is people's reactions? A lot of people rejected it, right? They sneered. They said, "Go, you know, you're a babbler." But some believed. So why am I in Japan? I want to share Jesus Christ with the Japanese people. Most people reject it. Most people laugh. Most people think, they don't say it to me in my face, but they'll think, "Come on, honto? Really? Really?" Most people. And that's Paul. That's Paul. But some believed. Some followed. That's all that matters. God is here in Japan to save and seek those he has chosen, those who he has been waiting for. He's waiting. He's calling. He wants them to seek him. He'll use the pandemic. He'll use the typhoon. He'll use the weather. He'll use the politics. He'll use the government. He'll use the families. He'll use the business, the economy, whatever he'll do so that people will come to him because he will give them mercy through Jesus Christ. That's the good news. That's the gospel. We celebrate that. If you believe, if you trust, let him set you free. You are made to worship. The problem with any other god is they put you in a handcuff. They'll tie your hands with rope. You can't get out. If you worship career, you're going to sacrifice family, health, whatever. If you worship success, it's going to tie you up. If you worship pleasure, it's going to put you in a prison. You worship family, you'll be in a prison of unforgiveness, resentment. You'll think, why doesn't anybody think about me, care about me? How could they do this to me? And you'll be trapped in a prison because you think they're God. You think they are Lord. But if you come to Jesus Christ, he will set you free. Because worshiping God gives you the freedom to live your life. Yeah, that's the gospel. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son to set us free. Not to judge us. He judged Jesus Christ. But he's going to set us free. Hallelujah. Now, yes, there are 13 people still watching. Thank you for staying with us to the end. Even Nozomi, you're still here. Thank you. Do you want to close with a song? Shall we do that? Yeah? Okay, so let's close with a song and we'll pray. So, yeah, come on up. We're going to shift to the piano and close with a song, and then we'll be dismissed. Verse 2. I shall wait upon the Lord. I shall wait upon his word. Like his grace, I am released. And by his grace, I am redeemed. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son.
shall have eternal.
Sing, by his precious blood.
By his precious blood, I have been set free for the glory of Jesus' name.
I surrender all now to Christ alone. In Jesus I am saved.
For God so loved the world.
For God.
Father, we thank you for this time together. We pray that you would allow us to have a good week in you. Father, fill us with your Spirit, that as we are filled, we would have the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of love and joy, peace and patience, kindness and goodness, gentleness and faithfulness, and self-control. For these good things, we will thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, well, thank you for joining us this week. We will see you here, same internet time, same YouTube channel. God bless you. Have a good week. Sayonara.